WellMed is directly supported by our listeners of the show.
Yeah.
Head on over to patreon.com/WellMedPodcast and find out how you can get involved. Enjoy the show? Join our Discord community. Share deck lists, meet new friends, discuss strategy, and more at discord.me/WellMedPodcast. This episode of WellMed is brought to you by Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Twitter and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo.
You're listening to WellMed.
WellMed.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
WellMed.
Everybody, welcome to episode 112 of WellMed. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, June 18th, 2017, from Studio 5 in Denver, Colorado. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's head over to wonderful Kansas City. You may know him from the last 112 episodes of this podcast. It's J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Yeah, John, you haven't gotten rid of me yet. I'm still here. So 112 strong.
Fair enough. Fair enough, dude. Well, hey, man.
That wasn't meant to be anything else beyond that, by the way. It just came out wrong. I apologize.
It's okay. You're a dad. You're forgiven.
This is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be.
I realized when you guys laughed, I was like, oh, I said something completely wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, let's skip past that. And jump over to, I don't know where you're from, Ray, but hey, welcome to the show. Our new permanent co-host, number one of two, Ray C. Hey, Ray.
What's up? What's up? Glad to be here. I've been on the show quite a few times before, but I'm excited to be on here every week from now until whenever you decide to kill me. So
it's true. We have a well-met hitman on... Mm-hmm. On standby, just in case anybody here messes up. So it's a pretty serious business. Speaking of,
I just feel like you're eventually gonna crack.
Maybe
if I just give you, yeah, and then one day you're just gonna be like,
"It's true."
Get him.
I crack just as much as your voice cracks on this podcast. Let's head on over to our second new co-host. You may recognize his voice from last week, where he absolutely dominated us in his wild knowledge. It's Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going? Really glad to be back on the show.
Dude, pumped to have you, man. I think we've got an amazing lineup of hosts, I think, of different people and different perspectives who can speak to all different parts of Hearthstone except Arena. But besides that, every other part of Hearthstone, and I think it's going to be a really cool change of pace here. So I hope you guys enjoy the new show. As always, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com if you have any comments or ideas on what we're doing right or what you'd like to see improve. But you know what, let's talk about our weeks in Hearthstone, what we've got going on, what we've got coming up. And Ray, I'm going to give you the spotlight first, man, because you've got some pretty exciting news going on, don't you?
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of stuff going on. I did really well in the Titan Arc qualifier, and I potentially won a trip to China if one of the top eight can't show up because I got ninth. So there was that. And then I was considering getting like a Chinese visa just in case, because Frozen said it would be a good idea to do that because there's a strong chance that one of the top eight can't get a visa in time and can't show up. So that was the thing. And then all of a sudden, I got invited to do Seat Story Cup, if anybody knows what that is.
Dang. That's a big applause, dude. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You're going to get used to hating this sounder because it's the really long one and I never get around to changing it. But also, if you get it, it feels really good because you get clapped out for a long time.
It's okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, So I've just been kind of not really playing as much Hearthstone the last few days. I've been kind of trying to prepare for my trip to Germany on Tuesday, I guess. That's, it was kind of just bam right there. Like, yeah. Wow.
That's going to be they awesome though, man. Then, like that's a huge yeah. deal too. I mean, I know I've known you now for about a year, I would say, like relatively closely. And I know how hard you've worked, in and out of Hearthstone. So it's awesome to see you up there. I think, didn't you say like Gosu Gamers has you ranked 5th in the world and 2nd in NA? Is that, or is that in points?
I'm 2nd in NA and like 7th or something in the world. I'm not really sure, but I'm up there right now. So we're doing well. Yeah, we're doing well.
We'll let it slide. We'll let it slide. Well, hey, man, congrats. Enjoy your time in Germany. Send us lots of pictures. And don't party too hard because we're going to need you.
I don't plan on it. I don't plan on partying too hard there. I'm probably going to try to keep it low key because I still have like a lot of stuff to do when I get home too. Like DreamHack Atlanta is actually relatively soon as well. So there's a lot of stuff.
That's true. We've got DreamHack Denver in October, which is kind of neat. Mm. But it's the same week as TwitchCon, so GG.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. Well, let's. What about you, Danny? What have you kind of been up to this week?
I've been experimenting on the wild ladder, trying to find some new decks that aren't typically. They were on the Vicious Syndicate report, and one of the guys on our Discord, Poach, actually found a wild Taunt Patron Warrior deck. It's actually really sick. Been messing around with that recently.
Nice. I don't want to lose to that deck. That does not sound like a deck that's fun to lose to.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's better than the normal Taunt Patron Warrior, or the normal Taunt Warrior, rather.
Nice. Are you up in Legend yet? You're up there?
Right. I'm yo-yoing between 5 and 1. I really haven't gotten to play that much. Right now, I think I'm at 2, so I'm probably going to push for Legend later tonight.
Nice. Well, hey, man, good luck. You don't need it, but good luck anyway. JR, what about you, man? What have you been up to this week?
In Hearthstone, I've just been having fun playing dumb, silly decks lately. I haven't been tryharding too much. I've just kind of wanted to take a break a little bit from the ladder grind from the last couple months and just kind of play some fun meme-type decks and get some people angry at me by playing some ridiculous stuff. So right now I've been playing that goofy ramp druid with all the big dragons and things like that and trying to squeak out some silly wins with that. But we had the Fireside Gathering last night, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And that went incredibly well. We had about 50 people show up.
Nice.
And so it was the biggest Hearthstone gathering we've had in the last couple years. Wow. So it was a lot of fun. And Sam, who's been on the show a couple times, once again, just did an awesome event, had awesome ideas. One of them was with the new deck import feature. He had like this little spinny wheel.
Yeah.
And it had numbers on it. You spun the wheel and whatever number came up, there was a QR code associated with that number. And you scan the QR code and it would copy the deck string. And then you open up your deck manager in Hearthstone and then copy that deck. And then, so you're playing against opponents, you know, two people would go up there and both spin the wheel. And then that's how they chose what deck they were going to play against each other. So you had no idea what was in it or anything like that, or knew what you were going to play. And that was a lot of fun. I played several games by doing that last night.
That's cool.
There's and Ben Brode even like retweeted it.
Yeah.
Said that was like one of the crazier ideas that he's seen with the deck imports. The other thing that was kind of funny was they had a guy walking around. He was doing an arena run. And he was walking over to each person and letting them choose a card out of 3 to draft his deck. And then they played
arena
it.
Arena style?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just he was drafting an arena style, and then one out of every 30 people or whatever picked a card, and then he played it. And last I heard, he was 2-2. I don't know how he finished, if he went 2-3 or if he went higher than that. But I know at one point he was 2-2 with the deck. It was an interesting mix where people were choosing good cards, and then people were choosing like the worst card to. You know, it was just like Twitch chat. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was a lot of fun. We're gonna have another one here. I think Sam said he's gonna have another one in July, but there's no details on that one yet. And then there's gonna be another one at the Boulevard Brewing Company again in August, and we're gonna do that one. Blizz Pro is gonna help sponsor that one, and 20% of the proceeds are going to go to the Extra Life charity. So that'll be.
Nice.
Pretty awesome. We don't have dates for that yet, but as soon as we do, we'll make sure to let people know.
Nice. I'm going to try and actually make it to that one in August. This one snuck up to me with engagement and graduation that I couldn't make it work. But I already got permission from Katie to put some money aside so I can make it out there for a night, and we can play some Hearthstone. So cool. As for me, I honestly didn't like try hard too hard, but I played some new decks. I've been trying some different variations of Token Shaman that I've seen popped up, a little bit like faster versions of it. One that runs what's the shaman weapon that's a 2/4
Storm Forjax
or 4/2
the one that changes your hero power.
No, it creates a 4/2. It's,
yeah, the one that creates a 4/2 elemental. I forget the name of it all the time. It's lightning something, isn't it?
Anyways, it
runs this.
Why do I not know this?
Twilight Hammer.
There it is. Nice.
There we go.
Well, it only takes four of us. Anyways, so I've been playing around with some different variations of that, and that's been really fun. And so I got the new iPad Pro this last week, like the 10.5 inch one. And I had like the 12.9 inch one, and it was just kind of unwieldy. It's perfect size. So I've been having a lot of fun playing on that. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
We do have quite a bit of news to go through this week. The first one is a PC Gamer article done with Ben Brode. And JR, what went on with this guy?
There's just a lot of good discussion in the article and in the interview. They ask the typical questions about how, you know, they feel Un'Goro is going, how he feels about the RNG, and things like that. For example, Ben Brode was asked about if they think they hit the nail on the head with RNG, this expansion with Dapt, which is similar to Discover. And Ben Brode was saying, yeah, he kind of felt that they did. He really likes the Adapt mechanic and how it's kind of played out. I think I kind of agree with that a little bit. Adapt is, you know, it's been an interesting mechanic. It's nothing that is, overpowered in my opinion. It's been fun to, you know, see how, you know, maybe you can get something good for that creature or not. But I feel like they kind of missed the boat on like other RNG mechanics that were introduced into the game, such as Primordial Glyph, which I feel is a problem in the game a little bit. They didn't really talk about that as much as Adapt. But do you guys agree with Ben Brode and how Adapt is kind of played out in the game?
I mean, I think it's good. It's definitely tied to the finite number of things you can discover. Getting the 10 options for Adapt, you can play around all of them. If you really need to play around them, you can. Whereas if you have something like Primordial Glyph, there's like 40, 50 options in standard or so that you could get. It's being able to play around a certain amount, whereas you could have an infinite amount from the other ones.
What do you think, Ray? I mean, you're seeing some Adapt cards, and are you probably can't tell us your lineup for Seat Story, but are you keen on including Adapt cards in your concoctions?
I mean, if the deck warrants it, like if I'm gonna play mid-range Murloc Paladin, the Gentle Megasaur is pretty insane. It's a really good. What effect do they call it in Magic? Where it's like, is it a Lord effect? Is that what they call it? Where it buffs an archetype? What do they call it?
It's like a tribal.
Yeah. That's like a really huge tribal like buff card in my opinion, and I don't think the Adapt is too crazy with the RNG by any means. I definitely like it. It's on the same.
Yeah.
Field like realm is Discover in my opinion, which I actually like a lot. Although I like it better when there's more narrow Discover effects like Stonehill Defender or Primal Fin Lookout, something that kind of narrows the options down a little bit. Whereas like Danny Donuts was saying earlier, the Primordial Glyph, there's like 50 or whatever mage spells or something. So
and not only that, but you get a cheaper spell as well, which is rough.
Yeah. So I like that. That Adapt is a small pool of options, just like Stonehill Defender is a small pool of Discovers. I like those effects.
Yeah, I've kind of felt the same way with it. Like it definitely doesn't feel like, you know, you got crushed by RNG again, but there's still that element of decision making involved. And yes, sometimes you can get really poor choices and get the wrong types of Adapt, just like you can roll the wrong or right totem as a shaman. But, you know, in the end, it feels much more balanced in the sense that usually the Adapt that you get that you get is not the game winning or game losing one, where, you know, out of some of those other ones, that spell that you pull, or, you know, oh, your piloted shredder has a doomsayer in it, you lose. That type of stuff doesn't really happen nearly as much, if that makes sense.
I mean, we are playing a card game, so we should expect some level of RNG.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. Another thing that Ben Brode went on to talk about and get asked about is if he thought this might be the best meta that we've ever had. And he talked about how there's a lot of different decks, a lot of different classes being played that have high win rates, but not super high win rates. And I think I would agree with that. Like, I can't remember another time in Hearthstone's history where you could play almost 8 of the 9 classes, Warlock being excluded in this, where you feel like you have a really good chance of playing and have a fairly top tier deck that you're able to play in this meta right now. You know, in the past, it felt like good if you had 3 or 4. But in this case, I feel like there's been a pretty good balance between vast majority of the decks. Of course, you're not going to get that perfect 9 for 9. But I feel like they've hit it pretty close. I was wondering if you guys kind of feel the same way with this in Unguru.
Yeah.
Danny or John or anybody.
I mean, I can only reflect from the Wild point of view because I haven't really played too much Standard. But the Wild meta is definitely very even across the board. A lot of classes have representation. You see a bunch of different archetypes. You don't see solely aggro or control. You have a combination of all of them. So I think that it's definitely a pretty healthy meta. And it's a pretty fun meta, too. Probably one of my most favorite ones to have played in so far.
So the tournament meta for like the major tournaments, it seems to be stagnant right now to some degree. Like, you look at DreamHack and you look at the list and it seems like everybody just kind of gravitating towards the best decks, which are just going to be some form of like Gunther Mage, Quest Rogue, Jade Druid, Mirko. Like, it's all, I mean, there's probably like 8 to 10 good decks, but I don't know. There isn't too much crazy stuff going on. It's not as diverse as I think it is, but I also don't think we've necessarily gotten through the meta yet. Like, I think there's still undiscovered gems. Like, Asmodai recently got rank 1 legend with his control priest thing, which was really cool. And I think that there's a lot more unknown decks right now that we haven't really discovered yet.
I definitely can.
We're currently...
Go ahead, Danny.
I'm sorry. We're currently halfway through the rotation cycle too. So I mean, in about a month or so, we're really going to be looking at how refined the meta's become. This is like the halfway point.
Right.
I would. It even feels like it might be a little past the halfway point. I think we're going to start seeing the next expansion start getting revealed in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close. I will say, DreamHack has been a giant bore for me for the exact reason that you just said, Ray. There's just a lot of the same decks, these kind of weird mirror matchups, and like whoever wins the token mirror is, you know, generally the winner. And it was just kind of like, I had a trouble as a spectator, like staying awake and staying interested in it. So it's not like the worst tournament meta that we've ever seen. I would say the Patron Warrior meta in tournaments is probably the worst that I could remember, but it hasn't been like a fun tournament meta in my opinion to watch. But I guess
It's very controlly right now, and the control decks aren't particularly fun or exciting, so that's mainly why people feel like that, I think.
Is that
the meta's moving away from aggro?
Do you think that there's like a reason why we don't have exciting control-y decks? Do you think it's like an answer to, oh, well, we try to remove some RNGs, so Ragnaros is in Hall of Fame, and Ragnaros made a lot of great contribution to control mirrors? Or are you kind of like, because we had
Ragnaros
Sulfurous,
still deciding,
right?
All these control mirrors.
Yeah, it's true.
That's I don't think that's a problem. I think it's just kind of less exciting than old Control Warrior, even, because it's even more straightforward. You just play your taunts and then you get your hero power and you click your hero power and then you either win or you lose. Like, depending on how you hit your brawls and your rag flips or whatever. And then there's the Gunther Mage decks, which is like whoever finds the most ice blocks off their Primordial Glyph is probably gonna win.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I think it's fine. Like, Evolve Shaman's becoming a thing, and I think that deck's pretty exciting just because Evolve is kind of a wacky card. So,
right.
That's pretty exciting. But outside of that, I don't know. It's just kind of slow and grindy, and I feel like that can probably bore people a lot, whereas before you were seeing things like Zoo Mirrors and stuff, which might have been a little bit more exciting because they were faster paced.
Got it. So something else that Ben said in this is that they were kind of talking about the Hall of Fame and if they were close to or considering adding any other cards. And one that he brought up is, he goes, we might have done Gadget San Auctioneer. Do any of you guys think that there's other cards we should maybe be seeing in the Hall of Fame?
I would like to see Prep from the Rogue card end up in the Hall of Fame someday in Innervate.
Ray's playing Miracle Rogue right now, and he just the visible cringe that just came
Innervate. It's just one of those kind of cards, just getting like a free spell or being able to ramp your stuff out like way early. I don't know, it feels played out where it's one of those cards where it's always going to be in everything. And I would like to, once again, though, I want to go back to having a classic set that rotates so that you're not always seeing the same cards every rotation. You know, and you might see cards come back. I'm a big proponent of that. But I don't want to see, like, Preparation and Innervate for eternity in Hearthstone for Standard going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Gadgetzan's the culprit at all, by any means. Like, Miracle Rogue is good, but it's not even that good statistically, especially on ladder. Super hard to play on ladder because there's so many aggro decks, but preparation is definitely a card that is pretty degenerate, at least with like Quest Rogue. That deck kind of made the deck degenerate, because if you actually had to play the quest for 5 mana instead of just prepping it out, I don't think the deck would be as busted as people. I mean, I don't think it's as busted as people think it is, but they think it is that way because of the crazy things you can do because of preparation. So I think preparation is definitely more of a culprit than Gadget Sen Auctioneer, for sure. So I kind of agree with you on that point. And I would like to see Rogue decks stray from the core that they've always had, which is just revolved around their prep and like their spells. But I guess that's kind of what they were going for. But if they want to change it up, that would be really interesting to me.
It's really weird, right? Because I think you hit the nail on the head in the sense that Rogue class identity is around its cheapening and card drawing spells. And part of that is enabled by like Gadget Sen, where, you know, you draw more cheap spells to draw more cheap spells kind of thing. And then you just draw through your deck, do a bunch of damage, and GG. But I think like Druid has the same thing going on as Rogue does, but it doesn't feel like as much of the problem. Druid still, for the most part, revolves around innervates and wild growths, and you're always having swipe in there. And, you know, there's those key cards that you still kind of have, but it's not like it's, we've still seen a lot of different versions of Druid come into fruition. Aggro Druid, mid-range Druid, Jade Druid, that stupid Coon Druid combo, Astral Communion Druid. Aviana. Yeah, just there's been a lot of different variations where it's like, what minions do you want to put in your Miracle Rogue deck this expansion? And that hasn't felt like, I don't think, a lot of fun. Danny, is there anything from the wild perspective that you think, or any perspective, honestly, about some of the cards that might need to get retired or Hall of Famed?
Well, we get to play with the Hall of Fame cards. Right. But from the standard perspective, I think that a low-key card that that really hasn't been touched is Acolyte of Pain. You have any control deck, any combo deck, like the majority of them are running that for card draw. And while it's a key part to a lot of the decks, and I feel that it might be a little bit too powerful in some of those. So I feel that for a lot of the things that have been removed so far, like Sylvanas and Ragnaros, it's more or less for a type of archetype. Whereas the other cards like Prep and Innervate are more for the cores of those classes. And while you'll find some decks that won't run those, like Water Rogue's not running Prep, and so, I mean, in Wild at least some aggro druids aren't even running Innervates. But yeah, I definitely feel those are good options. My throw in would be the Acolyte of Pain, though.
Whoa, interesting. Why the Acolyte of Pain?
Well, I just feel that it turns into, I mean, it's clearly a card that takes a little bit of skill to play, because, I mean, if you just drop it down, your opponent will kill it off. But Blizzard's been going a little bit too heavy towards the combo and control. But those types of decks look very similar in, like, the core pieces. Like, if I'm going to play a Control Warrior deck, I'm going to be tossing two of those in every time. If I'm playing, like a combo priest or something, I'm probably going to toss them in. So that's what I think really keeps Acolyte of Pain on the top of my mind. If I'm trying to make a control style deck or even a combo style deck, it's one of my top choices to put into it.
That's an interesting thought. I haven't heard of Acolyte of Pain come up. Ray, you think that could be a thing?
I mean, they would have to replace it with some type of other draw.
Oh, yeah, you definitely need something else.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
which is hard because you have to make a neutral draw that's not broken. And like, I feel like Acolyte's pretty balanced, honestly. I don't really see a problem with it, other than, like you said, it's in almost every deck, but at the same time, are they going to print draw cards for every single class, or what are they going to do there? It's kind of weird. It's like Healbot, when Healbot was in the metagame, how every deck just played Healbot because it was so good. I didn't really see a Sludge Belcher. Sludge Belcher, maybe less so than Healbot, because Healbot was played in even decks that Sludge Belcher wasn't, and they were always played together. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I never really saw a problem with Healbot from my perspective, but I'm also more a control player than I am an aggro player, so it's kind of, I'm a little biased there. I loved Healbot. I wish we had it in the format now. Yeah. But,
you have corrupted Healbot. What are you talking about?
I mean, it's a little different, Don.
Oh, okay.
It's a little different.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Last thing.
Yeah.
Last thing here, and then we got to move on because, wow, we're this is going to be a long-winded show, boys and girls. Ben Brode did chime in on something called Speed Hearthstone, and he was basically asked point blank, is the team ever going to make a version of Hearthstone or a game type of Hearthstone where the rope starts burning immediately? And Ben Brode said, yes. JR, how do you feel?
I mean, very first thing that popped in my mind was this could be a brawl. And yeah, right. Him saying yes in this case would be good. However, I would very much like to see, you know, a mode where you are playing just Speed Hearthstone. And I don't know how they would implement it, because it can't be implemented in Standard or Wild on Ranked. Or some kind of new play type, but I would definitely like to see this, or some kind of, you know how Overwatch does like the custom games and you have a bunch of different sliders. Like, I would love to see some kind of system like that
custom
in Hearthstone.
Game browser where you, for Hearthstone.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to see something like that where you can, you know, make the rules as you go and people can join the lobby and queue up and play against each other that way. I think it would be cool. It would be.
That would make a lot of sense. I don't know how they would get implement it into the UI, but if they could do it cleanly, I would love that. That'd be really cool.
I think they could do it pretty easily, where like you can only make the games from a PC client, but you can join the games from a mobile client. Like, I feel like that's one way that they could kind of get around it, because you could display that fairly easily on a client, but like on PC is the only one where you can really be messing around with a lot of sliders and doodads. If you've ever jumped into the custom game browser in Overwatch, there's a lot of tools, a lot of scrolling, and a lot of different options.
So I think they would just implement it like Standard challenge, Wild challenge, custom challenge. And I don't think it would be that complicated. There'd only be like, so you know when you go to the menu and you have like the drop down arrows to change your resolution and all that stuff, it could be like that. Like the custom, you click custom game, custom challenge, and then once your opponent accepts it, you get like a menu that's kind of like that menu.
You don't get that on mobile though.
You
can't
don't
change your
Are
resolution
you sure?
on mobile.
Okay. Maybe your ideas.
Sliders for volume level, and music level, I believe. So you do have that. I don't think you have drop down though.
I think you do when you like search for decks and stuff like that, or search for cards. There has to be some type of way to implement it on mobile, but even if they can't, just doing it computer side to and anybody connect to it's fine too.
Sure. I want a Heroic Tavern speed brawl. 1,000 gold, 15 seconds a turn, get through all 12 of those games, 15 of those games.
I would love that. I would love and, that so much.
That would be a lot of fun.
I'm an instinct player, John.
Yeah, it's true.
You ever watch me play in tournaments? I just go.
Yeah.
It's my turn. I'm done. It's your turn now.
So hopefully we hear more. I think you're right though, JR. Sounds like a brawl type of thing for me. But Ben Brode, if you're listening, make that brawl heroic, and I will be very happy. Because I don't. I'm a very quick player as well. I don't like playing long drawn out turns and long drawn out decks. I just don't. It's not me. but we got to move on. Okay, so we also, there was a Reddit thread that was posted about, I think it's called Three Reasons Why Return of the Lich King is Hearthstone's next expansion. Most people were apathetic about it, but JR is very opinionated about this topic, and I really want to hear, because I've heard him say about how much he knows it's not, and there's no way, and there's no reason to think that, but like he hasn't gone into depth in front of me before, so I kind of, all right, JR, lay it out for us.
All right, so like John said, there's this Reddit thread submitted about a week ago. Three reasons why the next expansion is most likely Return of the Lich King. And it points to another Reddit thread that said, in a Reddit thread 4 months ago, someone noticed that Blizzard trademarked Return of the Lich King. So I go to this Reddit thread that they link to. And in this other Reddit thread, it says Blizzard trademarked Return of the Lich King 3 days ago with the proof that thought someone on MMO Champion posted about it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go over to MMO Champion and see where this was posted. And the only reference on MMO Champion anywhere in their forums is someone said, I saw that someone had said that Return of the Lich King was trademarked. What are your thoughts on this? And there's no other proof anywhere. And if you go out to any of the trademark places, there's nothing anywhere that says this has been trademarked. If you go to the US trademark and do a search, there's nothing there. If you go to a bunch of the other countries where Blizzard has trademarked things before, there's nothing there. Like, this is something that someone had just posted on MMO Champion without any proof that said Return of the Lich King has been trademarked by Blizzard. But there is nothing anywhere that this even exists. And the worst part is, like, everybody just keeps circulating these Reddit threads as, like, fake this news. Is a trademark. The trademark is there. Not only that, but Hearthstone does not trademark their expansion names. If you go out to the US trademark, you can't see Whispers of the Old Gods. You can't see League of Explorers. You can't see Curse of Naxxramas because they don't trademark those. So it's silly to say that Return of the Lich King is the next expansion because Blizzard trademarked it, when in fact Blizzard has not trademarked it. There's my rant of the day.
It's like in elementary school when you had that game of telephone where everyone passed everything along. And this is like the end where we're hearing everything.
I call it circular sourcing. It's what you do in a college paper where you source something that sources back the original source. And so no matter what, you're like, it's a source, but it's just a link to the other source.
And the worst part is content creators are jumping on this and just posting it like it's true. And no one's done any research on it to see that it's just simply not out there. If anybody can give me proof that this is trademarked, I would be happy to see it. But no one has been able to bring it up yet.
So I'm going to tell you a story, JR. It's a quick story. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's very easy if you're like a well-respected player to post a deck list saying that you got X rank. Like, if I got rank 1 legend, I could just post a deck list of whatever I wanted, and everybody would believe it. So if I posted, unless it's, like, absolutely unbelievable, if I posted, like, a really wacky deck that, like, you could somewhat see, and I just said I got rank 1 legend with it, everybody would be like, oh my god, this is the next best thing. Like, people have done that before, and then we'll be playing on ladder, and we'll just see, like, a wisp or something in someone's deck. We'll be like, oh my god, this idiot actually did it! He believed the tweet! So I imagine the people who like made that, if they were, they're probably just so happy right now.
that's an excellent troll. Next week when you're on the show, Ray, tell us about your rank 1 deck list, and just totally make it up. We'll do it, and we'll post it on competitive Hearthstone, and we'll see how many people we can get to play it. Deal?
I mean, if it's believable, I would imagine a lot, honestly.
I mean, it is like there's been the conversation a long time. And I would say this was before Vicious Syndicate, where they sourced it from data. So it was a little bit harder to like, quote unquote, fake. But there was some rumors going around that Tempo Storm intentionally put some strategic decks or withheld certain decks from the meta report. And most of it was just like, they were just being paranoid about it. I don't think that there's any truth to the rumor at all, but it reminds me of when people are like, oh, Tempo Storm is just doing that so that their players know the deck that beats that meta and they can be top of the legend ladder and, you know, do better for the team. So it's don't believe anything, basically, is what JR is saying. Don't trust anything except for your rank with your deck list. Okay, we gotta move on. We're so far behind. Let's talk about the meta.
Journey to Un'Goro.
How did you convince me to do this?
Journey to Un'Goro.
Whatever.
All right, so new meta reports out this week. Danny, can you give us like a rundown on kind of what's going on in the meta this week, at least according to Vicious Syndicate?
For wilds or just
standard? I would say standard. Yeah. I don't think the wild ones change, has it?
Yeah, no. That was gonna say we haven't released a new wild one.
Yeah.
We're doing ours on a monthly thing. So here we go.
Yeah, it's.
I hadn't really checked out the standard one, to be perfectly honest.
That's fine.
So if someone wants to, someone else wants to jump in.
I'll take it. I got it. So check this out. Basically nothing has changed except Token Shaman got better and Ray ran Miracle Rogue. I'm kidding. Ray, tell us what's going on, dude.
Oh man. Well, the metagame, it's looking, I don't know. Like Vicious Syndicate has decks like J-Druid and Crystal Rogue at tier 3, which is so weird to me because they're so good in tournaments. But on ladder, it makes a lot of sense. So the ladder meta is actually kind of really different from tournament meta, where decks like J-Druid and Quest Rogue are just so much more powerful because they have specific roles that they play. But
right,
it makes sense. Like Token Shaman, Murloc Paladin, Secret Mage, sure, they can be tier 1, they're aggro decks. And this data, it's not specifically high ranked legend. I mean, they do take from legend overall, but I don't necessarily think all legend players are good. So
Ray, all the shows that you haven't been on, whenever somebody will like send us an email and they're like, you guys said that this deck wasn't good. Like, remember when, I was like, you were coaching me and you're like, I was like, I hate playing Reno Lock as aggro shaman. I never win. It's just not, and it's so unfavorable. All the meta reports say it's unfavorable, and you're like, oh yeah, it's actually pretty easy to beat. Just keep your 4-mana 7/7 in your opening hand, and you're good to go. And my win rate jumped up like 25% against it. So this is something that we've talked a lot about on this show. We won't rehash it again in the sense that Vicious Syndicate takes data to make really informed opinions on that, but also looks at it. And Danny, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if it's different for the wild, but they take the middle of the bell curve, right? So,
oh yeah, no, exactly. It's the same thing for wild. You see, it's geared for the average player, for the average player to go and say, oh, what type of deck do I want to go? How do I want to tech everything? But I mean, especially from legend, you see it's a little bit different up at higher ranks. You can see certain people are a little bit better with the decks than the average player, and they can play to their outs a little bit more.
Right. So what they kind of have, and I like to use like the rank 5 to rank 1 portion for our listeners at least, because most are around or aspire to be that kind of ranking, or like that's where their numbers ideally can line up with. And really interestingly to me is Freeze Mage. So Freeze Mage has kind of made a subtle comeback over the last couple of weeks. And it's ranked tier 1 and rank 5 and third best in tier 1 at Legend. Ray, like, why? Why won't Freeze Mage go away, number one? Number two, why is Freeze Mage back?
Well, I mean, it should have never left. People just kind of got on the Gunther Mage hype train. Honestly, it was a thing. Monsanto did really well with it, and then Laughing repicked it up again, because originally what happened was Laughing said the deck was dead, and then obviously since his word is like God's word to most people who play Freeze Mage, they're just like, all right, it's dead. But then Monsanto picked it up, played it, and he's like, Freeze Mage is pretty good. I'm like top five legend or something right now. And then Laughing back picked it back up. Everybody picked it back up, and then everybody dropped it again once Gunther Mage came out, and now people are realizing Freeze Mage is actually still really good. I don't know why it ever kind of went out of style as much as it did, but it's probably just because of the way people work. Everybody's kind of a sheep, and they follow what other people do. So if nobody's playing Freeze Mage, nobody's going to play Freeze Mage.
And it's like a really specific style of play too. Like, I know for me, I don't think I could ever play Freeze Mage because that style of play isn't fun for me, but I would imagine that it at least gets old. And after you've had a deck that really hasn't been out of the meta almost ever, you know, like people saw a new mage that, you know, has those controlling characteristics that was typically, you know, really only characteristic of Freeze Mage. And I think you're right. They're just like, even if it's not better, it's the new hotness better. It's something new. It's a new way to, you know, play control mage. And I think that that might have been why that, you know, they hyped on it.
I mean, Freeze Mage just gets better and better the higher rank you go. Like in the data report, like the higher the ranks go, the better Freeze Mage gets. So it also has a really high skill gap, so
right,
lower ranked players might get more easily frustrated with the deck because they don't win with it.
Why did you look right at me when that happened? That was lower ranked players. thanks.
John,
you're muted.
I mean, sorry.
You're muted.
No, just kidding.
But you're not wrong. I don't think I could pilot a deck like that. Not without hours and hours and hours of practice and probably a few hours of coaching and a few hours of selling my soul. So
you can do it. I believe in you.
Thanks. Thanks. I didn't need to hear that, but I kind of did. JR, anything stand out to you on the meta this week?
I mean, not really. I'm actually surprised to see Freeze Mage so high up from rank 5 to rank 1. And that's just for the simple fact, like, I see it so very rarely right now on the ladder. I see a lot of Quest Rogue right now, which is, I feel, is kind of weird. I see a lot of Silence Priest. I actually see a lot of Silence Priest. There are a lot of people playing Silence Priest. So that's surprising me a little bit. And I see a lot of Secret Mage. Like, those are the three decks that I see, like, when I queue up, and Pirate Warrior. Those are the four decks that when I queue up, I usually expect to see one of those four.
Right.
And to be honest, like, Silence Priest is one of those decks that just doesn't feel that good, but people just love to play, I think. And that's one of the reasons why you see a lot of it. Like, and even looking at this, like, Silence Priest is what, bringing in less than a 50% win rate on here. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where people enjoy those decks more than what they care about their win rates. And I think that's one of the things that, like, when they brought in ranked floors, you're seeing that a lot more, where people from the rank 5 to rank 1, you know, maybe when they hit rank 5 to dad legend, they have no intention of making it to real legend and just want to play something kind of fun and be the gatekeepers.
That's a good point. I didn't actually think of it that way. And you are right, though. The at legend ladder, it accounts for like 4%, whereas like Token Shaman is like 11. I think Pirate Warrior is not far behind. And at not legend, it's like 2.5%. So it's, despite its power or potential power, its actual play rate doesn't really represent that.
Time efficiency is why, because it's more efficient to win with Token Shaman and 6 turns or something than it is to win with Freeze Mage in 20 turns. It's a win.
We actually had a really interesting conversation about this in our Discord this week, kind of about the role of conceding in climbing the ladder. And basically the conversation, and we're gonna tangent this for a second because I wanna hear your opinions on it. Not necessarily what you actually do, but your opinions on it of you know, you're trying to climb. The goal for you is to climb the ladder. You're playing, you know, a fast aggro deck, and your direct counter queues up, and those games, you know, go out 15, 20 turns before you almost inevitably lose. Do you think that it's all right to just hit that concede button after the first turn or two? Danny, I want to hear your thoughts. Like, do you think that bad matchups are an all right thing?
I mean, after the first few turns, yeah. In the context of what we were saying, that we were talking about a bunch of things. We were talking, at the start of the game, I don't particularly agree. But if you play your first two or three turns and, like, you get a really early clear, or, I mean, like, if you're playing Freeze Mage and you're countered into, like, a control warrior, the guy's just tanking up all day, I feel it's perfectly fine to take that loss and just continue going. I mean, you only have a certain amount of time to play.
Right. And the additional information was and this was on the High Legend Wild ladder, right? There was some Chinese players.
Yeah, this was on the China server. Yeah. I think five or six guys got banned for Blizzard, the Chinese equivalent of Blizzard, essentially banned them for win trading because they were all part of the same, like, organization, and they had multiple concedes against each other. And there are a couple of things that haven't been released, but it's definitely win trading.
Right. And it was like, you know, it's one thing to go, this is a bad matchup. I really don't want to play 20 turns against Freeze Mage right now when I'm only going to see it 2.5% of the time. And, you know, it's one thing to go, I'm just going to concede. But, like, these guys knew each other. It was a little bit more sketchy in that respect in what they were doing. So, but it brought a really interesting conversation of, you know, we had multiple players who's like, I don't think you should ever concede. There's always a chance that you can win. And, you know, my counterpoint was, yes, there is. Let's say you win 1 out of 3, but you can get 4 games in during that time. Like, there's a good chance that's going to be way more efficient for you to just hit that concede button and, you know, kind of move on. And I think that's okay and doesn't constitute win trading. So it was a really interesting convo. I'd be interested to hear from like a statistician perspective on when that break even point is.
Depends how much you're tilted.
Yeah, well, there's definitely that.
I'm never tilted. I am zen. You guys, Ray, you've seen me play. I'm zen all the time.
That's what we'll call it.
Okay. Thanks for having my back. Last thing before we move on from the meta. What are you guys going to run on ladder this week to climb, JR?
I'm just going to continue playing Ramp Druid just because it's funny.
Okay.
Easy, Big Druid, easy.
So, Ray, you're probably not going to be playing a lot to climb, but if you were going to be climbing this week, what deck do you think you'd be queuing up in?
Probably play Token Shaman, Taunt Warrior, Miracle Rogue. I just enjoy playing those decks more than the other decks. So, to me, I can probably climb with anything up to, like, top 100 pretty easily. So, it's like, I would rather just play what I enjoy and then kind of figure it out from there once I get there to that point. But usually it doesn't even matter until the last couple of days of the season anyways.
Yeah, that's true. Danny, what about you, man? What on the wild side of things, what would you be running this week?
Sure. So up until I get to Legend, I'm going to be pushing Egg Druid, but then I'm going to be experimenting around with mid-range Druid. I feel there's a little bit of potential with some of the wild decks that no one's really playing any really mid-range style Druid. So I'm going to be experimenting with that for the rest of the week.
Nice. Cool. Well, hey, good luck. That's your meta hot take this week. But let's jump into something that was pretty interesting this week, and it's a hot topic that we've wanted to discuss all week, honestly. So Brian Kibler posted a video about the culture of negativity in Hearthstone. And it was a really interesting, it's about a 15-minute long video. Of course, we'll have it in the show notes for you. But just about, you know, some of the parts of the community that are just inherently negative. And it was really interesting. And I wrote up this big thing, but I'm gonna read it anyway. So we know Hearthstone's the most popular digital CCG in the world, and it's arguably the most accessible. It's profitable, its player base is diverse, and you could argue it's single-handedly created the digital CCG genre. If not created, at least legitimized it. With that being said, the culture of Hearthstone is at least a polarizing topic. Due to Hearthstone's limited social functionality in client, the breadth of the online communities that support it, and the ranging gap of skill and player intentions, Hearthstone's identity has been somewhat misrepresented between luck, RNG, skill, pay to win, coin flips. Just some of these terms are ones you hear to describe Hearthstone's win conditions. On the heel of Brian's YouTube video discussing the culture of negativity in competitive Hearthstone, we wanted to provide our perspectives on the issues. We have the most diverse hosts, I think. We have a former Pokemon pro who's rated near the very top of Hearthstone's competitive scene. We have a former Magic the Gathering player in JR who's played at a really high level in Magic. And then, of course, we have a high legend wild player as well in Danny. We've got quite a few different diverse opinions from people who've come from different diverse communities. I get to be the average Joe, so you can expect me to stay mostly quiet. That's why I get to read the thing at the front. But I do come from a competitive gaming background where it's all about, you know, winning and playing Halo 12 hours a day and jamming 9 Mountain Dews like a boss. So with that being said, and one thing I wanted to add to this before we get started, I was on Reddit this morning, the regular Hearthstone Reddit. And Ben Brode posted, or somebody posted, you know, why can't we no longer get old Murky from in the game anymore? And it was, you know, and Ben Brode took the time to kind of try to explain the mindset of the weirdness it might be, as if that quest was only completable in wild and what that might look like. Why not a different legendary? Some guys said, be like, well, it feels really bad that I can't just physically can't get a card anymore in wild. And I respond, I'm like, you can get it. You just have to craft it. I got 35 downvotes for telling the dude that he could craft the card. And, but it was like, this really reminded me of that like culture of like negativity, and that like the Blizzard team is always out to beat and berate and take every dime away from its player base. Man, it's just been weird. So let me put it up to you all. Jump in with whoever feels the most inclined to. Does Hearthstone have a culture problem?
I actually would love to start out with this, because I think if you're looking at the online community, communities in some cases, such as Reddit being one that I feel is overly negative. And then the competitive scene, I think if you tie those two together, like the culture amongst those are very much negative. And I think Kibler kind of nailed it on the head with the competitive scene, saying that some of the pro players just like they're feeling pretty good about the time that they put in, the effort that they put into the game. But then when they win something, they don't. Like, they'll say, you know, in interviews and whatnot that, oh, I just got lucky, or, you know, they kind of play it off to the audience, because the audience that is watching that, you know, you see the Twitch memes about, oh, he top decked it, you know, he got something good off Babbling Brook.
Babbling Brook.
Yep. you know, and things like that, and just got lucky in the children's card game. And I think those scenes are extremely negative and have a negative spin on Hearthstone. But when I went to that Fireside Gathering last night, it's a very different environment, and it was overly positive from people there. It's not the same conversations, but it's funny that there's a handful of people that were there that are very much into the competitive scene, and they were constantly using little memes in their conversations about, oh, Blizzard's just a small little indie company, you know, and things like that in their conversations, and, you know, porting it over into that, into an environment that overall was a very positive environment. So it's one of those things where there's like communities within Hearthstone that I feel like are very negative, but I feel like the overall community of Hearthstone is not. But we only see the very vocal competitive scene in Reddit, and that's what we associate with Hearthstone for a lot of us, I think, and that's why we see it that way.
I mean, they're the most public, right? They're, you know, Reddit and Twitch chat are, you could argue, the most public venues that we have for Hearthstone content, so I could definitely see that.
Yeah, as a pro player, like, the negative culture definitely hurts all professional players like a lot. Even if they don't think it does, because you're just respected less amongst the plebs, which are the common viewer, because they think you're just lucky. Like when you say plural Hearthstone player in like a Twitch chat or something, it's followed by an Ellie giggle usually, and like some type of condescending thing, like you're a professional coin flipper or something. But it's not really the case. If you look at win rates between like Hearthstone and poker, Hearthstone pros, good ones, have about a 70% win rate in tournament. I think that's pretty good to have like a 70% win rate, or even close to there. Just speaks for the consistency of the game and that it's not as bad as people think it is. But the culture just kind of turns pro players into a meme. It's kind of like people don't respect pro players, they respect memes, which
is not
a good thing to
me, you're pretty close with Hot Meowth, and one of Brian's like exact examples was talking about Hot Meowth, and he kind of and there was some other drama with other players too that maybe fueled it a little bit, but then, you know, Hot Meowth has been on the record to say multiple times that, you know, oh, just got lucky or won the right coin flips. And for episode 100, he was grinding out open tournaments during the show. Like, the dude obviously works really hard.
When he was at my house, and he was just in the background.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that.
He doesn't
give himself enough credit, and it's really bad because he is kind of very addicted to the meme culture that Hearthstone has created, because it's very fun to a lot of people, and you just kind of get caught up in it. And when you get asked like, oh, how'd you win that game, even if you made a million decisions that were amazing, if you had one lucky thing where, like, oh, you won like a 50-50, you'd be like, oh, I won that 50-50. That's how I won, obviously. I'm just lucky XD or whatever. That kind of thing. And that's obviously not good for the game. It's not a good representation of...
I mean, no one wants to stand up and be a showboater, though, saying, oh, I made this little tiny decision. And then as soon as you start overanalyzing things, which you have to do in order to be good... it really starts taking that whole narrative away.
I mean, you just say that I practiced really hard, I put the time in, and it paid off. Like, that's all you have to say. You don't have to say that I got lucky and that's why I won, because that's part of it, but it's not all of it. You didn't get lucky to get to BlizzCon. You can't just be lucky, otherwise anybody could get to BlizzCon. You don't see random people getting to BlizzCon. Like, these are people who have put in the time. Not a random Joe. Like, you'll never see John at BlizzCon.
What? That might have been the motivation I needed, Ray. I will see you BlizzCon 2018.
I mean, you'll be watching me. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Oh. Ow. My heart. I'm broken. Oof. I'm broken. Okay. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for that.
I still love you. It's okay.
For you guys, get us back on track here. So, I mean, Ray, you played Pokemon professionally before you did Hearthstone. Were there similarities in that, like that culture to this? Like, can we draw on, JR, maybe from like the Magic the Gathering perspective?
It's definitely not as proliferated as it is in Hearthstone. It's not as internet-based, though. It's not totally as, like, online. And people aren't going to say that stuff in real life. That's the main difference. Yeah, people are not going to say that in real life. Nobody's going to say to somebody who just won a Pro Tour or somebody who just won, like, Pokemon World Championship, nobody's going to go up to them and be like, oh, haha, you got lucky. You top-decked that card. Like, you don't deserve this. Like, nobody's going to say that to your face. That means nobody says it at all.
And that's exactly right. Like, those moments happen in every card game where you might top deck exactly what you need. You have, you know, you might have 20 cards left in your deck and only this one card is going to get you out and win the game for you. And you could very well top deck that in Magic the Gathering or Pokemon, I'm assuming. I've never played Pokemon.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that could be your winning moment in any kind of championship or anything like that. But no one is going to ever say that you just got lucky to win that because you went through a grueling, you know, way of even getting to that point that it's not luck that got you there. And it's not luck that got you into that game. Maybe you made plays during that game that allowed you to stick into the game and maybe get that top deck to finish out a win, knowing that that was your only out and you were playing for that only out. Things like that. It's no way the same in any other game that I have played, card game that I have played, the way that Hearthstone, the Hearthstone community, deals with this. And it's very strange to me in a way.
A lot of it comes from like the culture at the beginning of the game where you had big streamers just kind of being memers and not actually good at the game. And most of the big streamers are not necessarily good at the game outside of like actual pro players like Dog Show, people like that. But most of them are just memers because it's easier. It's easier to just not try and play fun decks and just meme. And well, that kind of created the culture
good
as well.
Enough, right? They're playing, you know, legend, but like mid to low legend, where it's you have to be serious enough about the game. It's not like these guys know nothing about the game. But yeah, you're right.
They could,
like,
if they wanted to.
Right. Well, and it's like you, like, there's a very big difference between, you know, JR or I hitting, you know, legend a few times a year and, you know, kind of easing into like that rank 1 through 3 on months that we don't want. But it's another thing totally to like dedicate yourself to like that top 100, which every time, like, I kind of hear the pro threshold, I keep hearing like top 100 is kind of where people kind of feel like that is, at least on the standard side of things. But you are right. The, you know, when you look at the most popular streamers, a lot of them are ones. I mean, Day9, he's one of my favorite Hearthstone streamers. He doesn't even usually play at Legends. He just makes some really wacky decks and, you know, is going for those YouTube moments, because YouTube moments pay, and I can't blame them. It's the same in every esport right now, or any video game. Siegel was talking today on stream about he's an Overwatch pro who's taking a step back to stream. He's like, streaming makes way more money if you're any good at it. And
the thing about those games though is it's a lot easier to showcase your skill. And like, that's, you can tell somebody's insane at like League of Legends, Overwatch, StarCraft, because they have insane mechanics and they make plays like where you'll see a Genji just get like a quadra kill in like 5 seconds because he's just like doing all these mechanically insane plays, right? But that is actually being good at the game. The problem is with Hearthstone, it's hard to show somebody in a clip being good at the game as opposed to just an insane Yogg-Saron or something, which
right.
Since the meme culture assumes that like people who are good at the game get good Yogg-Sarons, Kappa. So
I think a big root of the problem also is tied to Reddit as well. Reddit's a pretty big echo chamber, and people typically get behind negative comments as opposed to like positive ones. You'll see, like when John made that comment earlier, you'll see a bunch of people jump on the train to downvote that. Whereas a lot of the positive things you'll see, they typically don't get as much attention on Reddit.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. So Danny, do you think then, because we didn't really get a full thing from you, do you think that Hearthstone has a healthy culture right now?
I wouldn't consider it like extremely healthy. I think it's better than it's been in the past. When we have like really bad metas, it cycles in on itself and you really start to see a lot of people complain about things and then that just compounds. I think with the healthy game meta, the meta around that is pretty good. But in the past, I think it hasn't been as good. And it's also good to have people like Brian Kibler come out and say things and bring this attention to light.
Yeah. Is that what it looks like? Is that what a healthy culture looks like? Is when we have a good meta, people are nicer? Or do you think that there's kind of more depth? Is there more stuff?
I mean, there's definitely more right. to it. Sure. You have to approach it. Not particularly sure how you want to put this. A lot of the times when I see people complaining on Reddit, it's for the. I lost where that thought was going.
Okay, dude.
Exclude that.
Man, podcasting is tough. Like there's a lot of freaking moving parts to all these shows. Don't sweat it.
I think there's so many answers to the problem it's hard to figure out which one is the best. And I've literally spent hours and hours talking to other people about this. So it's not something that I haven't even talked to Blizzard people about this. It's not something that's one easy fix.
Right.
It's a multitude of things, but I guess it starts at the grassroots where streamers and stuff could give people who do well more respect, I guess, or acknowledge that like, oh, this person played really well instead of got lucky and blah blah blah. But I don't know, it depends. That's probably never gonna happen.
Could they start with a report feature, maybe? Like
a report feature?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like a report, like in every other one of Blizzard's games, if somebody is toxic or has an offensive name or is playing out a card at the front of every turn and then roping for the rest of it and stuff. Like, somebody's doing things that are counter to the goals of the game and is hindering those experiences. You can just report them. And like, you can kind of weed out some of that stuff, at least in game.
But what's to stop someone from like memeing on Reddit? That same person who gets banned from the game, now they spend more time on Reddit.
That's a good point.
Complaining.
Fair enough.
Nah, you start with the influencers. You can't stop the trolls. Okay. The influencers can just influence better, I guess.
Okay. Any closing thoughts from anyone?
Not particularly. I'm just excited for this week.
Dude, crush it, man. Just crush it. Well, hey, thank you guys for hanging out. And welcome, new well-met crew. This is, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I've said it before in the past. It takes like 10 to 15 episodes for people to gel and all that kind of stuff. So you guys are all so polite right now in like 10 weeks. I just
really, you think I am?
Except for Ray. Like, you're very nice. You're all just like waiting your turn. good on you guys. So anyways, thank you guys for hanging out. I hope you enjoyed being here, listening to this show. And yeah, let's go ahead and get out of here first for Patreon. No new patrons this week. But we do want to thank our well-met legends, Albert T, The Real Ben, and Carell. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you want to support well-met, get in on some. We have a patron-only Discord channels. We've got some coaching sessions up for grads, which, you know, both Ray and Danny had said that they're excited to be a part of. So you can kind of sit in on that as well. We've got game nights and all that stuff going on. Head on over to patreon.com/wellmedpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. iTunes reviews, JR. What do we have going on there, man?
Yeah, we have one iTunes review this week in the U.S. from Shane Ramey. Thanks so much for that 5-star review, Shane. It's very much appreciated. If you'd like to give us an iTunes review, just head over to iTunes, search by podcast Hearthstone, find us easily, leave a 5-star review, and we'll say your name on the show next week.
Awesome. Cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Before we do, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you? Danny, you're up first.
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS, and try joining one of the Wild or the Ask Hearthstone Discords.
Yeah.
Some great places to talk about the games and some pretty good communities that aren't as toxic as some of the other ones.
Yeah. Our well-met Discord too is, they're pretty chill, pretty legit. So make sure to come hang out with us and all that kind of stuff. JR, what about you, man? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
Shoutouts this week, I want to give a shout out to Sam Benson for putting on another awesome Fireside Gathering here in Kansas City. And people can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian, and that's it.
Cool. All right, Ray, last words, shout outs for the week. Where can people find you besides Germany?
PG_Racy is my Twitter. My Twitch is Racy591. And if you want to watch me play in Seed Story Cup, I don't know what channel that is on, but you could probably just Google Seed Story Cup and be able to find it.
Isn't that be done cool by to have Take people TV?
For me? Yeah, I don't so I know if that's their the Twitch Take channel TV
thing, but you'll find it out. It'll be all over. We'll retweet it, of course. And so, cool. Good luck, man. Come back with that $20,000, please.
I will do my best.
Cool. We're counting on you. All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for us. You can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, Twitch and Twitter. I'm playing a little bit more Hearthstone on stream this week. And so you can find me there, and you can make fun of the fact that I'm really bad at Hearthstone and host a Hearthstone podcast, because that's everybody's favorite pastime these days, I guess. So, that's going to do it for us for episode 112. Join us normally Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzbro. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzbro.com. And of course, tweet us at WellMetPodcast, or send us your emails to WellMet@blizzbro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.